Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 129, and it's a Monday, March 4th, 2019. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome everyone to our show where we talk about gay stories, geek topics, and bizarre news. Ray, so the weekend was pretty jam-packed for us because we've been busy.
Yes. Apparently weddings are in the air.
That's right. So last Saturday, after dim sum with a couple of friends, what did we do, Ray?
Well, we went and got fitted for our suits for my wedding.
Yes. I like the theme we're going to choose. Like, well, yours is different from the from us. So from me, yeah, it's going to be like a suit with a salmon shirt underneath and matching shoes
a
with
pink
everyone.
Pink shirt, Maynard. It's not salmon. It's a pink shirt.
If you're gay, you have to you have to relate it to food or something like peach or fruit or something like that. So in this case, it's a salmon. Anyway, so yeah, we did that. We got some fitting, and then we'll see how it is. You know, my problem with suits is that the length of the arms is always a problem. So
yeah, but didn't she measure you to take your take it up?
Yeah. She's gonna adjust it. What I'm saying, in general, whenever I buy suits, that's always a problem. So,
well, then apparently you're not buying your suits where they will fit them to you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I end up having to have it a custom one all the time. Of course, the pants also. It's not easy being short.
I know.
That's right. And then afterwards, I did go to the wedding. It's a wedding for Mark and Paul. So Mark and Paul from actually the Under Bear podcast. So yeah, congratulations. Yep. They got together. They had a wedding celebration. Wait, they had a wedding, and then they had a wedding celebration. We did it at the Resurrection Church, Metropolitan Church. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's where you go to church, right?
Yeah, that's where I go to church. And I walked in there Sunday because I wanted to see how they had it set up, which was similar to what we're going to do, so I could figure out our layout and set up configuration. So that was very helpful. Thank you, Mark and Paul, for that.
Yes, that's right. It's awesome to celebrate with them, you know. And there are people from Austin, from Dallas, some people, hot guys from Austin. It's pretty cute. Anyway, so we did that. We have friends like, you know, Wayne is the photographer, and he took a lot of pictures, which is great. I'm still waiting for his official one. I did take some pictures myself, but it's not as good as he did. What he did. Anyway, so we've been busy last weekend. Actually, so Sunday, I'm not playing softball. I thought you're, but I went to the games. And
well, you're my spy.
I'm your spy. That's right. Our friend Luis.
Track that boy.
That's right. Anyway, I had fun. Met up with my old team, and we just hung out. I just really just wanted to support them and watch them. That's pretty much it, because it's my free Sunday. I don't know if I'm gonna. I think I'm gonna be busy for the next few Sundays. So that's pretty much it. That's when I'm gonna be busy. So I'm not playing softball. Okay, so let's go on with the news. However, we do have a breaking news, which is really sad.
Yes, very, very sad.
Oh yeah. So Luke Perry, yeah, he died at 52. Is that right? 52. He's really young, and he's the TV icon and heartthrob who rose to fame on Beverly Hills 9210. And he has died from after
90210, Maynard. Get it right.
Oh, that's right.
90210.
That's right. You have to get it right. I think we just say 9210.
No. It's Beverly Hills 90210.
90210.
The most famous zip code in the U.S. because of that TV show.
That's right. Anyway, so yeah, he suffered from a massive stroke. And Luke passed away Monday morning at St. Joseph's Hospital in Burbank. According to his representative, Luke was surrounded by his children, Jack and Sophie, fiancée Wendy Madison Bauer, ex-wife Minnie Sharp, mother Ann Bennett, stepfather Steve Bennett, and brother Tom Perry, and sister Amy Coder, and other close family and friends. So his condolences to the family who were left behind by Luke Perry. So it's really sad. Yeah. I do remember him.
I know, because I'm like only a year behind him, so that's kind of scary.
Oh, yeah. But you're healthy. You know, you get yourself checked up.
Well, he was healthy.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
He's been on Riverdale. He plays the dad to Archie on Riverdale, and he's like been a good guy. I really enjoyed his character on there. Mm-hmm. And it's just like all these people that were my age and growing up and stuff are starting to die. We're just at that age, Maynard. Well, people we know start dying left and right.
I know.
Hopefully it won't be either one of us.
Hopefully not yet.
Very are you early. Okay, Maynard? Are you joking?
I'm choking. Oh, no, I'm kidding, though. No. I'm really, take
the penis out of your mouth and you won't choke.
That's right. It's out. It's out right now. Okay. Sad news. So, pretty sad. Okay. So, shall we go to our stories, Ray? I think you're going to take this one.
Yes. Our gay this week, Voldemort made a cute ad about a gay couple dating at a store. The right is outraged.
Yeah, he meant Walmart, but go ahead.
Voldemort.
Okay.
The evil empire.
Okay.
So an anti-LGBTQ hate group is up in arms over a gay video produced by Walmart. Walmart has a series that is promoting on its Facebook page because Love is in the Aisle, a dating show at Walmart. The video shows people going on blind dates at Walmart. The second episode is about Pat and Andy, where they shop and joke around, and Andy asks if a 3-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, body wash actually contains all three of the products. Cute and a little weird, nothing anyone would get upset about. Honestly, never thought Walmart would join in the cultural revolution to reject the beliefs of its customer base, Tim Wilderman, president of the American Family Association, wrote in an email blast. That belief, the idea that marriage is between a man and a woman is sacred, which gives away the game. A lot of homophobes pretend that they don't really hate LGBTQ people. They just think that straight marriage is sacred. But the Walmart video says absolutely nothing about marriage. It just shows two men making jokes about pans and enjoying each other's company. It's almost like these folks don't care about all the sacred institution of marriage and just hate gay people. At least with a company like Amazon, we knew they were liberal from the outset, Wilderman wrote. But this seems more like a betrayal from a well-known friend. Sam Walton is probably turning over in his grave. The American Family Association has a petition up and is telling its people to call Walmart customer service and ask them to remove the pro-homosexual video and remain neutral on controversial issues, such as whether gay people are allowed to exist.
Oh, my God.
They claim to have over 35,000 signatures on the petition.
Right.
So, yeah, another right-wing group is over sanctioning marriage, and the video has nothing to do with marriage. It's just two guys going on a date at Walmart.
That's right. So they
And I'm sure that happens in Arkansas a lot, but...
But what?
About, you know, actually going on a date at Walmart. I can't say too much because I actually went on a date at Target one time.
So we cannot be judged, right? I do have to judge them, though. As a gay person, I have to judge them. 3-in-1 is awful. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, all in one. Oh, my God. I can't believe these guys are gay.
I know.
No. No to 3-in-1s. No.
Those trisexual washes just don't work.
No 2-in-1s. No 3-in-1s. Always separate. Shampoo only.
Unless it's three bears on Maynard. That's totally acceptable.
That's right. No. This shampoo thing, this is controversial to me, Ray. Controversial. Shampoo must be used separate from conditioner. End of story. That's how you use products. Okay.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting that they did this because, you know, actually talking about the date I took to Target, it was, you know, you get to know somebody that way because, one, you're not watching a movie, so you can actually talk, and you're going through and you're, like, comparing styles to what, you know, seeing what they talk about or are interested in. And, of course, you can walk down the condom aisle and see if they grab the magnums or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so, that's right.
So that really leads to a lot of stuff, you know, if you don't get dick pics up front, but that's probably the case more anymore. So, mm-hmm. But back in the day, we had to imagine.
That's right. Anyway, good for Walmart that they do videos like this. I'm looking forward to see more later. Let's see if there are a couple of bears that can do that. That'd be good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next story, which is gay couples, 1971. I saw this. I read this article. It's pretty awesome because, you know, they're the first officially first same-sex marriage in the U.S. Okay, so one gay couple won a long-standing battle to have their marriage from 1971 recognized by the government. On February 16th of this year, the Social Security Administration sent a letter to Richard John Jack Baker and Michael McConnell. The letter stated that the government recognized their marriage as legal. This also means that the two are entitled to couples' benefits. This is really a Valentine, said McConnell, according to LGBTQ Nation. It proves what I've always said. Jack and I are in our 70s, and we've been married almost 50 years. Our marriage is all about power, the power of love, McConnell added. Sometimes it takes a while, but in the end, love always wins. According to City Pages, the two men met in 1966 at a Halloween party in Norman, Oklahoma. A friend of McConnell's set them up. When he, I'm sure they did not meet at a Walmart. Anyway, yeah. So when he flashed his movie star smile at me, I forgot to breathe, said McConnell in his memoir, The Wedding Heard Round the World. In 1970, the two applied for a marriage license in Hennepin County, Minnesota. They were turned down and dismissed by the Minnesota Supreme Court. Afterwards, they replied in Blue Earth County, Minnesota. That time, their request was approved. Wow, that's amazing. Back then, there was no law against same-sex marriage. As such, the license to marry was granted after the waiting period expired. Unfortunately, conservative members of the community caught wind of the marriage, which led to the county's attorney asking the Blue Earth County Clerk not to record it. But that meant that the marriage wasn't removed, just ignored. Since then, the two have insisted that they are the first legally married gay couple in America. But now the two men have reached their 70s and are looking for support from Social Security. They want benefits as a couple, but met pushback from the IRS, who challenged the validity of their license. They argued that the Defense of Marriage Act prohibited the IRS from recognizing the marriage license. Baker and McConnell then went through a series of battles over the license. Finally, a district court in Minnesota issued on September 18, 2018, a ruling saying that the marriage is declared to be, in all respects, valid. Congratulations to the happy couple, and you are a gay pride, gay story, and a great example of gay love. Isn't it amazing that people got married back then in secret? I guess not in secret, but it's more like it got hidden away, and they think it's not going to prevail. But, you know, 50 years later, they're the first gay married couple.
Yep.
That's awesome to hear. Okay, so yep. I guess that's a feel good story for today.
Yeah, that's good. I'll let you do the geek because I've already done one Baltimore story.
Oh, that's right. This is related because it's Sam's Club. All right, so we can talk about this a little bit more later. So Sam's Club now lets you scan whole items, not just barcodes. So if you've been to a Sam's Club in the past 2 years, you might have used Scan and Go. The store's app lets you use your phone to scan the barcode of each item you put in your cart. When you're ready to check out, you can pay via the app and show your digital receipt to a store associate before leaving. Now, Sam's Club plans to make Scan and Go shopping even easier. So this spring, the company will update its Scan and Go app at Sam's Club now. It's a Dallas-based testing ground for shopping tech. The update will allow shoppers to register items in their cart by simply hovering the camera over each item. In other words, you'll be able to use your phone to scan the whole item, not just the barcode. In a video in its site, Sam's Club shows scanning an item to be 5.9 seconds faster than scanning the barcode. Multiply that by a cart full of items and you might save a couple of minutes stocking up on your favorite bulk goods. Sam's Club also plans to use the same computer vision and machine learning technology in tools used by employees, potentially shaving more time off your checkout. So this update brings the store and its parent company, Walmart, closer to the Amazon Go model, in which users can scan an app to enter a store, and it automatically logs what they leave with. But at Sam's Club now, you'll still have the physical scan items and check out with an associate before you leave. There's no word if similar tech will come to Walmart, but as the giant shelved, it's a Scan and Go app last spring and probably won't happen anytime soon. So I've been shopping at Walmart, and they do have a good way of shopping. And I hope
Well,
I hope.
they got rid of the scan and go at Walmart because there was too much theft.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah, so they got rid of it. But people, I say, don't use these scan and go apps. You're costing people their jobs.
Well, that is true. But yeah, that's true. It's going to be, more less people will be will be working on the cashiers. But that's kind of inevitable lately.
Well, I don't believe that. I believe if people, I like that experience, dealing with a teller and having my items checked and the little chit chat and all that stuff. And if I, the only time I use the self checkout is if I have less than two or three items, because that usually means I don't want to stand in line. But if I actually go shop, and even if I have two or three items, sometimes I stand in the line for a cashier, because no matter where you go, there's never enough cashiers. But I believe that people are like, oh, jump on this bandwagon of this easy software to use, but they're not thinking down the road that this is going to cost people their jobs. One, there are a lot of people out there that do not have the education to get other jobs and working in grocery stores and other places. It's not that they're dumb, it's just they don't have the level of education to get another job.
Well,
So once those jobs dry up, what are those people going to do?
yeah, that's true. But
And
if
what are
you,
teenagers going to do for jobs? It's already getting harder for teenagers to find jobs now.
yeah, but you have to, on the other side of it, of course, people just want to get out and go. And do you
Why you got to
think?
be in such a rush? Why everybody in such a rush?
Everybody's in a rush. That's what's
I'm
happening now.
like, if they're big
No,
of
no,
a
no,
rush,
no.
why don't
Let
you just
me
order? Why
stay.
don't you just order online and skip even going into the store if you're in that
Yeah,
big
you can do that
rush?
too. No, what I'm saying, I'm just saying that people just like myself, I do get one or two items only and just do the scan and go, or just really quick because I need really fast because. Let's face it. I know very altruistic that you would you think, Ray, that when you go shopping, for most people, is shopping really for the people who work there, or you're shopping because you need something? I mean, the majority of the people coming into a store, do they go there so they could support the people who work there? I mean, that's probably a byproduct, sure, but you're there because you need something, right? You're there in the store because you need something.
Well, yeah, I need something, but I also like that customer service,
Yeah.
like asking for stuff, or just having that personal interaction. Because most people are getting to the point where they don't have personal interactions every day.
Oh yeah, that
So,
happened with chat apps, of course, with all these
I
hooking
mean, it's like people
apps.
won't even leave their damn house. But if you're in that rush and you can't stand in line or deal with the cashier, then order. Go ahead and order your stuff online and swing by, and they'll bring it out and throw it in your car, and you don't have to worry about it. But I personally, if I'm in a rush, yeah, I'll do the online order. But a lot of times, I mean, a majority of the time, I like to walk in and see things and check and see if the vegetables I'm getting are fresh and they're not bad and the cuts of meat. Because I did order meat online at one of the grocery stores. And when I brought it home and cooked it up, it was so damn tough you couldn't stand it. And looking at it once after I got home, I was like, I wouldn't have picked this pack of meat.
Oh yeah. I mean, I understand
So.
that part because see, that part you did online, but you didn't like it because you did not pick them
I
that
know.
pack of meat.
I
So
did not pick that package.
that yeah.
So.
Yeah, so
And they're like.
it's not for everyone, just going online. But what I'm saying is, people who just go there and go shopping or whatever store it is, whether it's Sam's or Walmart or Target or even Kroger or even HEB here in Houston,
Yeah.
you just go in there, pick what you need. If you really want to interact with people, then go talk to people. You don't have to be in front of a cashier or to actually talk to the cashier, right? So, if you're gonna, yeah, if you do your business and talk to people, you want to talk to people. I mean, yeah. And do you, and I understand the human interaction. I sometimes do that too, but you know, I don't think the majority shares that sentiment. Yeah. You know, they just want to buy and go.
But I think all these companies are automating and automating, and to the point we're going to put people out of jobs, but we're not changing our educational system to match that.
Yeah, but then this is when companies think of ways to think of other business models that not having cashier or people or clerks in front of them. Like they could be door greeters, or they could just be people checking the people's bags when they go out. You know, they can still do all those things. I mean, it's just,
yeah, but you can get two people to do that where you need three or four cashiers doing rush hour. So it's still costing people jobs.
Yeah, but you know,
I mean, that's why I don't put my buggy walk it back up to the store all the time. I put it out there in one of those little buggy cart things because there's some teenager out there that needs a job pulling that buggy into the store.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about shopping carts.
Shopping carts, yeah.
Shopping carts. They actually use buggies. Anyway, so yeah, people have different opinions on this one, and the people are... yeah, so I don't even remember that, Ray, that when you go shopping, you really think about the people who are working there. That is very altruistic.
Well, I mean, I look around at me, and I'm like, there are all these people that are saying they can't find good jobs and blah, 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 but... A lot of that has to do with education, training, lifestyle, this, that, and the other. I mean, I have relatives that I can show you. The reason they work in the jobs they do is because they dropped out of high school. They didn't do this. And those jobs are getting smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And less and less. So at some point, either we change how we educate people so we can flip this trend around. It's like, look, you ain't going to be able to get a job if you don't get your act together.
Yeah, so that this is systemic. It's a systemic problem that it's not all about because, yeah.
And it's a lot harder to change the educational and the mindset of people than it is to change the business model, because business model changes every day.
Yeah, right now it's changing now, and it's making people suffer because they can't get a good job because everything's getting automated.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's go to the bizarre, Ray. What's the bizarre? What's this banana splits?
Did you watch the banana splits as a child, Maynard?
Not at all. This is something we did not grow up with, the banana splits. But
you did not grow up with the banana splits. Oh my God, you missed out. So
I've seen a lot of other
the late '60s.
I've seen a lot of the other Hanna-Barberas, of course, but not necessarily the banana splits.
Yeah. So. Well, this is unexpected. The Banana Splits, the anamorphic animal rock band that first debuted in the 1968 children's variety show, The Banana Splits Adventure Hour, are getting rebooted in a new horror movie.
You would love this, right?
Hanna-Barbera's original incarnation of the band is certainly creepy. Made up of Flegel the Beagle, Bingo the Gorilla, Drooper the Lion, and Snorky the Elephant. The band was conceived to entertain children, but there's just something unsettling about people in animal costumes playing bubblegum pop. Just imagine the band at your local Chuck E. Cheese suddenly springing to life. Terrifying stuff. And that inherent creepiness is apparently what has inspired Warner Brothers to get the band back together in the form of a scary movie that will first be available as a direct-to-video release before screening on Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi.
The official synopsis of the film called The Banana Splits goes like this. A boy named Harley and his family, brother Austin, mother Beth, and father Mitch, attend a taping of the Banana Splits TV show, which is supposed to be a fun-filled birthday for young Harley, and business as usual for Rebecca, the producer of the series. But things take an unexpected turn, and the body count quickly rises. Can Harley, his mom, and their new pals safely escape? No release date has been announced yet.
So this is something you grew up with, Ray?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Banana Splits was only around for like one or two seasons because it's kind of weird. Okay. It's kind of goofy. And if you watch it today, even in, you know, like some kids' shows kind of relate, you can carry it over until adulthood. This stuff was just kind of stupid.
Okay. Stuff. So is it... How do you compare this with the Teletubbies?
What would it be like if the Teletubbies started killing people?
Oh, okay. Wait, even so, back then they're an anthropomorphic animal rock band.
And exaggerated animal costumes and a rock band, and they were always going out doing silly, stupid stuff. They're always like in an amusement park or getting into trouble or being chased around or something silly.
Okay.
Kind of a kid's Benny Hill version show with silly stuff, with cartoons mixed in and other stuff. So it was interesting. I remember watching it as a kid. So, and it always seemed like they were always at the same amusement park, and they never went anywhere but that amusement park.
It's funny. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to this, I guess. You better warn me when this comes out so we could watch it. I mean,
yeah, we'll have to watch it, yeah. It's got to be like Sharp Night Out.
Okay, so let's go to the next story. This the picture of this guy is kind of bearish, but kind of creepy. Anyway, so the man faces felony charge after allegedly dipping testicles in customers' salsa. So Maryville, Tennessee. This has happened in Maryville, Tennessee. So a Tennessee man... Stop texting, Ray. You're texting in the middle of the podcast. A Tennessee man... Ooh. You are. You just sent a message. Anyway, a Tennessee man...
Well, why are you looking at your phone of a text message while you're doing the podcast?
It's distracting me. It's showing me the screen
you should
pops
be reading
up.
Your article and not be paying attention to your telephone. Are you a millennial?
No, I'm not. It just pops up on my screen. You know, it's part of my. It's right beside me, and it just distracts me. Okay,
right,
so
right.
A Tennessee.
Read your story.
Okay, a Tennessee man was jailed on felony charges after appearing to dip his testicles into a container of salsa that a customer had ordered online. Who ordered it online? You buy salsa online? Oh my God. The delivery driver allegedly recorded it and posted a video online saying this is what you get when you give an 80 cents tip for an almost 30-minute drive. News outlets report that the passenger, 31-year-old Howard Matthew Webb, was arrested last week and charged with adulteration of food. Dinner Delivered said that said the food service has fired the driver and forwarded information about her to authorities as well. Webb remains behind bars pending a March 12 hearing. His arrest warrant says they picked up the food for delivery from a local Mexican restaurant. The company issued a refund for the tainted food. What can they do?
The tainted food, man. Taint.
That's right. Let me look at the picture again.
You know why they call it the taint?
See, look at... Oh, the guy looks creepy. Oh!
Yeah. Well, apparently he was riding around with this chick who delivers food for restaurants, kind of like Uber Eats or something.
Yep.
And they ordered online and gave a 89-cent tip. Mm-hmm. So he decided to stick his taint into their salsa and take a video of it. Online.
The taint is too flat for that. The balls would be easier. So, if you do that, though, won't it sting a little? Because it is salsa. It depends if it's...
Well, you know, that jalapeno, so...
Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't burn balls off, but you never can tell. People are crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Some people get into that.
That's right. Anyway, so guys, when you're...
So, CBT, salsa abuse.
So, I heard before, I was telling you, I was hearing someone... before that you can really feel it if you're a person who's eating who likes jalapenos and you're eating peppers and everything and you gave someone a blowjob, it would hurt for the guy with the dick. Anyway, so I just heard from a friend that that's what happened. It was many years ago.
Right.
That's right. Okay, so I guess that's the story. Those are the stories for the week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It'd be awesome. Okay, so we have our Facebook page where you can catch all the stories we've talked about today. And it's at facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to email us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next show. Bye.